This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
I do want to share a quick message. It's not going to be in Galatians. We're going to just take a pause this week, and we'll pick up next week. Now, some of you are aware that I'm involved in an investigation of some ministerial abuse. Thank the Lord it's not of any sexual nature, but it is power abuse. And being involved in this has really impacted me. And there is a scripture here, and I don't have my reading glasses yet. In Philippians chapter 3, it says, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which through faith in Christ," which is actually fits in right with Galatians. "The righteousness which comes by God, from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering," which was very interesting. Paul says, "I want to know him in the power of his resurrection," which all of us love that part. We want to experience Jesus in the power part. But then he says, "in the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. And if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I've already attained it or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold on me." The fellowship of his suffering. It is not anything I've sought after, but I'm thinking, how do you fellowship with his suffering? And I just thought to myself, because I've experienced it the last few months, is I fellowship with those who are suffering. And there are a lot of people out there who are suffering. And it's easy for me to be occupied in those and doing ministry, you know, and doing things and traveling and all those things that are fun, challenging, but I don't look forward into fellowshipping Jesus with his suffering. But I know that Jesus is with those who are suffering. Amen. And I think one of the great things we can do in fellowship with his suffering is being with those who suffer. Not to point anybody out, but I do want to say thank you to, I call him Brother Ed, Pastor Ed. Ed, he's in the back there. He asked me to join him at a nursing home. Well, it's not a nursing home, but it's a memory care facility. He is ministering to those who are suffering mental capacities or, you know, dementia of some sort. And I kept thinking to myself, this is the heart of Jesus, to be with those who are suffering. It was a beautiful scene. I was very challenged. I was very blessed to be there and to see that. And so one of the things I want to challenge us is to not be afraid to be with those who are hurting. The message I have for us this morning is a message I preached right after Easter, so probably sometime in April, and I wanted to bring it back for us. And I'm not going to play the movie scene, but it has to do with suffering. And almost all of you, it'd be interesting to know if somebody has not ever seen the movie Forrest Gump. And there is a very powerful scene there. And you know it, but maybe you don't remember it. But it was the scene where Forrest Gump, who's an intellectually challenged, impaired man, has a lifelong friend named Jenny. And Jenny had lived her life, and it was a very tough and rough life, sad life. And she came back home, and she was reminiscing with him in the scene of the movie is that they started walking like through the fields. You know, they live in rural Alabama, and they were just walking. And then all of a sudden she came across her childhood house. And that childhood house represented something horrific. It was where she was sexually abused and physically abused. And so when she was brought to that attention of that house, that and she was forced to reminisce and forced to remember and forced to, you know, to deal with the raw emotions. And she goes onto the ground in desperation and starts picking up rocks, and she starts throwing it at the rocks at the house. And she just kept throwing it until basically she gets exhausted. And then a very powerful word said by the main character, and he says, Forrest Gump says, sometimes there are not enough rocks. And I don't want to be simplistic and act like dealing with deep pains and deep wounds that many people have. And again, as I'm sharing that, my experience the last few months has forced me to deal with and to help people who have been hurt, who have deep wounds and are in pain. And I feel bad for those who really don't know Jesus, that they're limited in their capacity. And of course, there's people who are counselors and people who want to help them. But I think as believers, we have something that we may not recognize, but we have Jesus to help us in those times. It doesn't keep us from experiencing those painful experiences that many people have. I think of the people that are dealing with the war right now in the Middle East. And I pray that our church are praying for the innocent victims. Whether they're on one side of the fence or the other, there are innocent victims who didn't ask to be shot down and destroyed. And what I would look at, and I don't want to talk too much about the Middle East, but I will say that that's an example of where we have people who desperately need Jesus, the love of Jesus. And so, but there are people who are hurting, and it forced me, my situation, to be with those who are hurting. And I've experienced a part of Jesus that I've never really experienced before, the deep care that Jesus has. So I think of the words that sometimes there are not enough rocks, I'm thinking, but Jesus is our answer, and he is the rock, and he can help us deal with these pains that maybe you've experienced and maybe I've experienced. At the end, I do want to pray for people. So, and then I'd like for us to pray here. But just so you know, if you're going to need prayer, we want to pray with you. But if those who are in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us that it says this, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. I do want to say thank you to Kim, and who works in this field. But one thing that she, as I'm sharing these stories the last few weeks, few months, she has been personally concerned for me. Like, how are you doing in this? And it's been a challenge, and many of you have been praying for me. Thank you. I've never, ever, ever sought out a counselor to, you know, to just talk things through. But probably at the end of this investigation, I probably will. Not that I was ever against it. I just never thought I needed it. But I'm praying that God will help me deal with those situations, to deal with people who are hurting. I've experienced a whole newness of Jesus, a beautiful part of Jesus that I wasn't aware of. When I preached a sermon 4 months ago, I asked the question, why did David need 5 stones to slay the giant? Why did he put that in his pouch? And I challenged us. I think the real simple reason he puts those rocks in his pouch is because his life experience probably taught him that sometimes, you know, you fling that rock and it goes where it's not supposed to go. You know, maybe it hits the ground. I likened it to golf. You know, some of you are golfers out there, and why do you take more than one golf ball, right? We know why John takes a lot of golf balls. Phew. I take at least 24. If you don't know anything about golf, you don't want to take 24 golf balls. But why does Tiger Woods take more than one golf ball? Why are these pros, why do they take more than one? Because life has taught them that they might need more than one golf ball to accomplish the task that they have the endeavor of trying to accomplish and do it well. And even the best golfers in the world need more than one golf ball because their ball might go in the water. I'll just tell you one quick golf story. I was with my friend Gary Miller, and it was kind of dusk. It was getting late. We were paying the late dusk fee, you know, the cheap fee. And I asked him to keep an eye on the ball because when I hit it, you know, it wasn't like the brightest time of the day. And so when I hit it, we could hear it, and I couldn't see where it went. And I said, Gary, did you see it? He goes, no, I didn't see it, but I heard it. You hit it well. And I'm like, where is it? And then so I didn't hit it. And it was, you know, a few feet. It took us about 2 minutes, but it dawned on me. I hit it so hard that it went straight into the ground about 6 inches. So I had to like dig my hand in there and pull out my golf ball. But why do pro golfers need more than one? Why does King David need more than one rock? Because sometimes it may take more than one rock to slay the giant. Now, I don't think it changes the story with King David if he missed the first time and he got on the second time. What's the purpose of the story is that God used a young boy, and he believed in God and had faith in God, and he didn't want to see the name of God being defamed by this giant, and he slays the giant. And that's what's the beauty of following Jesus is that we have been given rocks, if you will, to slay giants in our life. Maybe you have been abused as a child and you've never told anybody. Nobody knows, but you know, and it's something that's been challenging you. Or maybe there's other issues that have been a challenge to you. In 2 Corinthians, the weapons we fight for with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. So what are these divine power, what is it that we can help demolish strongholds? Well, we have, and this is not an exhaustive list, we have divinely empowered weapons. And one is, of course, as Jesus. Now, we don't have time, but if we looked at Peter's life, I mean, Peter came to know Christ. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. There was the whole Acts chapter 2 experience. But later on, and we learned in Galatians that Peter has not arrived, and he has issues in his life that God has still continued to deal with. We would call that sanctification. There's a process of being sanctified. And so we all need help. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but we still need continual help to make us into what God has designed us to be. And so the 2 Timothy 3:16, I think we read it yesterday, Dr. Christopher, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we have God's word and the word to help us for teaching, rebuilding, correcting, and training in righteousness. So God has given you a word, so I would encourage you to begin to read it. Begin to read it. Ephesians 6:13-20, we don't have time, but it talks about take on the shield of faith, which is you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So I would encourage you, again, I'm not trying to be simplistic, like if you do this, this stronghold will come down. But I believe that if we use these tools, God will help us and reveal certain things. And so the tool of the word of God, begin to read it. In John 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. When you pray and God gives you a word of conviction, trust the Lord, trust the Holy Spirit, that he says that you will be sanctified by the truth. Your word is truth. Discerning words in Hebrews 14, sanctify them by the truth. With your word is truth. And make no mistakes, the weapons that we have divine power, designed by God, and they were meant to be used by God, God's people. And we have to walk in obedience. Those who built their house on the rock and the sand, you know the story. And I always like doing that, like, you know, what is the rock? And everybody says Jesus. Like, yes, Jesus is the rock. But in this context, the rock is walking in obedience. Those who hear my words and acts on them, lives them out, begins to flesh them out. And so God gives us tools. He gives us people. Like I mentioned, Kim. I always say this all the time, my elders, the elders of this church are phenomenal tools, divine tools by God to help and to guide. They are a blessing to me and to our church. God will use a church family like this, divine, powerful church to be used by God. God gives us, a lot of times, if you're married, spouses or people who are intimately involved in your life, and God will use people. As I said, you know, the word of God, people, body of believers. There's all sorts of tools that God uses that you might need and I might need to help bring down a stronghold. And so let me encourage you this morning, if there's anything in your life, and you say, wow, this continues to bother me. This continues to follow me. This continues to haunt me. You know, I share many, many stories about my anger issue, and I shared this story at the church last week. I need to be careful because this is online, but I talked about my anger, and there were a lot of people in the audience that look like me. And one of the things about my culture is that sometimes we chalk it up for it's just the Latin way. I'm just red-blooded, hot-headed, because that's what Latins are. And that may be true, but once we come to know Christ, we are new creatures, amen? We've been bought with a price. And so blaming the culture doesn't hold water in the body of Christ. And I would tell you, man, I couldn't tell you how many people came up to me and said, you know, like, thank you, thank you. Because we all need to be challenged. You know, if there's an anger issue that you can't master, that's a stronghold in your life. If the anger is mastering you, then that's a stronghold in your life. And so God wants to help you, and he'll use his word. He'll use the Holy Spirit to convict you. He'll use sometimes your spouse. He'll use all sorts of tools, divine, powerful tools, to help bring down those strongholds. Sometimes, you know, I have family members, the stronghold of just mismanaging finances and just constantly in a situation of mismanaged finances. And that's a stronghold of immediate gratification. And so there are all sorts of things. You know, addicted to things online. That's a stronghold that God does not want you to live with, because that's not living in freedom, and you're never going to really live up to the purpose that God made you. But God will use his word, he'll use his Holy Spirit, he'll use fellow believers, he'll use certain tools, he'll use counselors. There's all sorts of divine tools that God wants to use in your life in order to bring down those strongholds. You know, sometimes I used to think, well, just because you're a Christian, you shouldn't have any problems and you should be able to overcome. And some of these things, you know, even the scripture talks about fasting and prayer. It takes time. It takes time. The strongholds are strong. And so, but the thing is that we don't have to live with those, that God has given us through the power of the blood of Jesus, the capacity to walk in freedom, to walk in freedom. And he wants you to be free. And so there are giants that God wants us to be aware of that need to be knocked down. Amen. The other thing, too, is you might be in a situation right now that you're like, things are good. My relationships with my coworkers, my spouse, my family, things are good. And I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. I pray that you are in that situation right now. So I would say to you, if you don't need a rock, then be someone's rock to help slay those stronghold giants in their lives. Be available to help people that might be struggling. Not to judge them, but to help them. Help them. Be someone who's willing to help. Maybe you needed help, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago, and someone, the Holy Spirit, used all sorts of tools to help you. Now you've been set free. Be there to help someone. I'm so blessed by our church people. I know there are some families that have been helped because someone was willing to be the helper. This church has people filled with people who are willing to be the helper, be a rock in someone's life that they can use as a tool to help slay giants in their lives. I'm so very grateful for our church, very giving church. So we've learned to be a rock. Our church, and of course we'll do it at the annual report, but we'll share, we're giving to missions more than we've ever have. Why? Because we want to give people the tools to use to share the gospel of Jesus Christ all across this globe. And God is using our church to be a stone in someone's pouch to help bring down giants. God wants to use you for his glory. And if right now you need prayer, I think, again, if you remember our sermon series, we're only partial way through, that God desires for us to walk in humility. And to say that I need prayer is a way of saying I want to walk in humility. It's putting you in that right posture of God giving you the tools to help bring down those strongholds. Pride keeps us from utilizing those tools. I'm telling you, I am not the same person I was when we started Mosaic Church in 2007. Why? Because the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the fellowship have helped me to move forward in my journey with Jesus. I'm not the same person I was 2007. And so I want to encourage you to walk in humility and say, you know what, I need prayer. I need prayer. And we all need prayer. It may not be today, but we all need it. So we're all in that same boat. None of us are exempt from needing God's help. We can say we can cleanse ourselves, and God can help and do that. But the usual way that God does it is uses his tools to help us. Of course, we have the blood of Christ that helps us. If you remember the story a few years, 2 years ago, Teen Challenge came, and this boy, this young man talked about he was in the woods, and he put a Craigslist ad saying, I need a tent and pillows and a blanket. And a family answered that Craigslist ad. And it changed his life. He was in this service talking about the goodness of Jesus. That family became a stone. So this young man can help begin to slay the giants of addiction and homelessness. And he found Jesus. There's other ways. Like I mentioned this morning already, nursing home care is a way to be with some, the stronghold of loneliness. I can only imagine what it must be like. Of course, we have the homeless ministry. There are kids that are in our public school system that desperately need a mentor. There's a family here. They're not here right now, but they volunteer to be a mentor at a public school. These are ways that God can use you as divine weapons to bring down strongholds. And if you're in a good spot, then you can be that for someone. Something as simple as helping around the church, especially downstairs. We need help downstairs, helping training the students, the kids downstairs. I mentioned this last time, and I'll say it again, but there was during COVID, you remember the government was handing out money? You remember that? Right? One family in our church gave that check to the church to be used for someone in the church. And I imagine if they could be in the audience today, can I imagine they're probably like, I could have used those. I could use that today, that $1,500. But they were a rock, they were a stone, they were a tool, a divine power, and they gave it to the Lord, and the Lord used that to help a needy family, and especially during that time. So God wants to use us, and God wants to use you. So if you don't need a stone, be a stone for someone in their life. Amen?
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.